Would you stand with me right now? And we ought to call on that name, the name that's above every name. There is healing in the name of Jesus. Miracles happen when we call on the name of Jesus. Deliverance takes place. Oh yeah, I wish you'd just enter into a new dimension right now of praise and glory when we call on that name. Hallelujah. Are you thankful that we know the name that's above every name? There is none that is equal to it. There is none that can compare to it. It is the all-powerful name, and we know what it is. Hallelujah. Would you say that name with me? One more time. Hallelujah. Would you just lift your hands one more time and let's praise Him. Lord, we worship You. We thank You for the revelation of the name of Jesus. We thank You, God, that You've given us access to the power of the name of Jesus. I thank You, God, for that power, the name that's in this place right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thankful that I know that name. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Mark chapter 6? Mark chapter 6, we'll start with verse 1. It says, "And he went thence, out from thence, and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which he has given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands?" They couldn't believe what was going on and what this Jesus was doing. Then they said, "Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, or Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house." Verse 5 astonishes me. It says, "And he could do no mighty work, save that he laid hands upon a few sick folk and they were healed." That's a pretty mighty thing. We consider that. But Jesus couldn't do any mighty works. Verse 6, "He marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about in the villages and began to teach." And I want to preach on this topic tonight, limiting a limitless God. Limiting a limitless God. I wonder, would you lift your hands with me now? Would you ask God to speak directly into your life? Lord, I thank You for Your anointed word. I thank You for Your word that instructs us and that helps us and that builds our faith. I pray tonight that You would speak in this place and do a mighty and great work in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And you may be seated. The word limit means a point or level beyond which something does not or may not extend or pass. A restriction on the size or amount of something permissible or possible. You see, you and I are familiar with the word limit. You see, we are dealt with and we deal with limits on a daily basis. Limits are a fact of life. We are, first off, governed by limits. Governed by the speed limit, of course. Now, I know that we like to test our limits and what that speed limit says. We may go 5 miles or 10 miles over. Some of us go 15 or 20 miles over. But we're supposed to be governed by limits. The President of the United States, arguably the most powerful man in the world, has limits. He has term limits. His power is limited by laws and regulations in Congress. Our phone plans, well, some of them do. Some of those have limits. Minute limits and data limits. Restaurants have limits. They can only seat so many people. And when all the places are filled up, you're on a wait list. How many likes to be on a wait list? Wow, everybody does? I don't like waiting at the restaurant. Human frailty has limits. Vision has limits. Even with 20/20 vision, we are limited. Some of us, our eyesight is limited. Now raise your hand. How many do not wear glasses? How many do not have to wear glasses? I'd say it's less than 50% in this place. Hearing, our hearing has limits. Several people just leaned over right there and said, what did he say? Yeah, our hearing has limits. We are told as we get older to know your limits. I guess as you get older, this applies more often. I say this to my dad. Dad, be careful when it's 100 degrees out there. Be careful in the heat. Don't get too hot. Don't get overheated. Tell Pop, don't go down to the property alone. Bring somebody with you. Don't do too much yard work. Be careful lifting that. Why? Because when we get older, we have more limits. It seems that limits and limitations are a daily part of life. It is something that we have grown accustomed to, something that we have to accept. It's easy to say, but I think harder for us to comprehend that we know and serve a limitless God. As we deal with limits and limitations daily, can we really wrap our mind around a God that is limitless, that has no limits? We have a God who's limitless. He has no limits. He has no limitations. His power is unlimited. Revelation 1 and 8 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Alpha and Omega, beginning and ending. There wasn't anything before him, before the world began. In the darkness and in the void, there was a God who was Alpha. After this world is past, after everything that we hold dear is gone, when there is nothing else left, there will be Omega, which is God, who is the ending. It is hard to comprehend, but God is limitless and he has no limits. He is not bound by time. He is not bound by seasons. He is not bound by months or by years. He is a limitless God. God is omniscient, which means he is all-knowing. Nothing surprises him. Nothing perplexes him. Nothing phases him. He is infinite in wisdom and in knowledge. That is a hard concept to grasp because things perplex us. Things are complicated and we try to figure them out and sometimes we can't figure them out. Things surprise us. When sometimes things happen in our life that phases us, that we go, whoa, where did that come from? How did that happen? But we have a God who is not fazed by those things because he is omniscient. Psalm 147:4 says, he determines the number of stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. Imagine God not only knows how many stars that are in the universe, but he knows each of them by name. May have told you this before, but I read an Australian study that said a few years ago, they put this together. They said that there are 70 million, 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 or the number 70 followed by 22 zeros. That's how many stars there are. That means that there are more stars in the sky than there are grains of sand on all the beaches of the world. What an incredible picture of the omniscience of God. Not only does he know how many stars are in the sky, but he can call each of those by name. God is omnipresent. God is not limited by time or geography. You and I live in time and are in this place. God is not limited by time or this place. He is here moving in our service just like he did a few minutes ago in that song. And he is in Africa right now moving in that service. He is omnipresent. He is all powerful and he is everywhere at all time. God is omnipotent, which means he is all powerful. There is nothing that he cannot do. There is nothing that can overtake him. There is nothing that supersedes him. He is not somebody, but he is the Almighty God. There is none above him or beside him. He has no equal and he has no rival. He is omnipotent and he is the all-powerful God. If you believe that, would you clap your hands right now and just a praise to him? Luke 1 and 37 says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." There is nothing that is too hard for God. Because he is omniscient, and because he is omnipresent, and because he is omnipotent, it proves the fact that God is limitless. He has no limits. Except one. However, in Scripture, we find that the limitless God, they say, "Now, Michael, why did you just go through this whole thing telling us that God is limitless, and now you're going to say there's a limit?" We find in Scripture, as we study and search the Scriptures, that God can be limited. He is limitless in power, but he can be limited. It sounds contradicting, but I'll show you in Scripture. Psalm 78 and 4 says, "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." I'll stop right there. This isn't in my notes, but this is why it's important for us to teach our children about the paths and the commandments of God. This is why it's important for us to bring our kids to Wednesday night church and to Sunday morning Sunday school and Sunday night, so we can teach them the commandments of God and teach them about God, so they know about God and they know that their hope is in God. That was God's plan all along with the children of Israel. He said, "I want you to teach them who I am. I want you to teach them about me so they will not forget and so they will know who I am." Verse 8, "And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. They forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of the fathers and the land of Egypt and the field of Zoan. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned their back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel." Verse 9 says, "The men of Ephraim, though armed with bows, turned back in the day of battle." They had everything they needed. They had leaders. They had equipment. They had been trained for months. They had the right weapons. And yet when the battle began to heat up, the Bible tells us that they ran away. Now these were God's troops, mind you. This wasn't the United States Army. This wasn't Russia's army. This was God's army. They were God's troops. And because of that, they didn't even really have to be great fighting soldiers. God was on their side, and he would fight for them. God had won battles where soldiers never lifted a hand. Do you remember those stories? God had helped them at other times and let them slaughter the enemy from behind. He was on their side. It was his people. They needed not to fear, and they were more than prepared, yet they shrank when the opportunity came. They did not have to be strong or experienced. Just show up, just be willing to enter the battle, and God would do the rest. God could use them or work in spite of them. Show up and be willing, and God would have the opportunity to use them and to bless them and to strengthen their faith and to show his might and his power and to encourage them. But instead of doing that, they turn around when things started heating up, and they fled. The only thing that could limit God's ability to give them victory in this battle is their refusal to give God a chance. I almost titled this message, Give God a Chance. The only thing that stopped God from bringing victory to these soldiers was they refused to give God a chance. They limited their blessings, they limited their faith, and they limited the limitless and all-powerful God. He was going to give them victory. He was going to give them blessing, but they nailed the door shut when they refused to give God a chance. We read, of course, in Numbers, the children of Israel are basically to Cana, to the promised land, and they want to spy out the land. This intrigues me. I don't know what that was. I don't know if that was doubt. I don't know if that was unbelief, but God had promised this land to them. God had spoke directly to them and said, I've got a land prepared for you that's flowing with milk and honey. I've got a place prepared for you. And now they're at the doorstep of the promise. They're there. The place that they had been walking from Egypt to get to, they are there. Moses, we want to spy this place out. We want to check it out. So they sent, you know the story, they sent 12 spies to spy out the land, and 10 of those spies came back and said, well, they're right. Look at the grapes. This place is flowing with milk and honey. But did you see the people that inhabit this place? Did you see how big they were? We're not able to overtake them. And as you read through Numbers, the children of Israel begin to murmur and they begin to complain. And they said, would this God that brought us from Egypt, would he bring us all the way here? And now he's just going to let us die in the desert? They said, I'm shocked at reading this. They said, why don't we put a captain in charge? And why don't we return back to bondage? Why don't we return back to the place that we came from? God, what are you doing in our life? When the whole time God said, I've got a promise for you. Here's my word. I'm going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. You're at the doorstep. You're at the doorstep of the promise. And yet the children of Israel limited the limitless God at that point in time because they did not take God at his word. Hear me, saint of God. You've got the word of God. And I know he's spoken some words in your life. Do not limit him because of your human and logical thinking. Do not limit him because your fleshly eyes see obstacles and see things that would come before you and stop you from entering into the promises that God has for you. Hear me today. We serve the all-powerful God. I tried to prove that through scripture. We serve the omnipresent, omniscient, all-powerful God. And if he spoke a word to you, he will fulfill that thing that he said. But the only thing that can get in his way from fulfilling that promise in your life is you. It's us. I don't know about you, but when God speaks a word in my life, I want to take that word and say, God, I'm holding on to that word. I'm trusting in that word. Hey, I know that sometimes life throws us curveballs. Has anybody got a curveball thrown by life? I know that sometimes God speaks to us and says, I'm going to do this and this and this in your life. And maybe did the first thing, but the second and third thing has not happened yet. That's all right. Hear me. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Hear me, saint of God. Hold on to the word that God gave you. Hold on to the word that God gave you, because if he spoke that word to you, he will fulfill it, because he cannot lie. Don't limit him with your unbelief. Don't limit him with your human logical thinking. Just stand fast and hold fast to the word that he gave you. Sometimes we limit God because we don't step out and do what He's told us to do? How many times has God told us to go and do this? Go and talk to them. Go and pray for them. Step out in that anointing and be used by Him. He spoke directly to us, and we step back and say, well, God, I'm just not comfortable doing that. That's not my personality to do that. I'm not courageous enough to do that, when the whole time God said, I'm going to use you. I'm going to work through you. But limits come when we put limits on Him. His word says that He's a provider. Give God a chance. His word says He's a deliverer. Why don't you give God a chance? His word says that He's a deliverer. They spoke about that, sung about that tonight. His word says He's a deliverer. If you have addiction in your life, He's a deliverer. Why don't you give God a chance? His word says He's a miracle worker. And you may be facing things that with your human brain is thinking, there is no way this is going to happen. There is no way that this is possible. Quit limiting God, and why don't you give this limitless God a chance? If you're here today and you need change in your life, you've been searching for something in your life, nothing has seemed to fill the emptiness, nothing has seemed to fill the void in your life, you're searching and searching, I've got a word for you today. Why don't you give God a chance? Because God can change your life. Back in Psalm in verse 10, it says, they did not keep God's covenant and refused to live by His law. There is nothing that so suddenly and completely slams shut the windows of heaven and ties God's hands and isolates you from God's presence as does disobedience. In Israel's case, it was refusal. They refused to obey the word of God. It was knowing disobedience. That is something that God cannot and will not bless. They limited Him by forgetfulness. In verse 11, it says, they forgot His deeds and the miracles that He had shown them. As I was reading that, I began to weep and say, God, He's done so many miracles in my life. He's done so many miracles in my family. God, I do not want to forget the things that You have done in my life. I do not want to limit Your power by forgetting the things that You have done in my life. That's exactly what they did. It says they forgot His deeds and the miracles that He had shown them. Do you remember? I don't have time to read it, but you ought to read that chapter in Psalms. It goes down and through all the things that God did for the children of Israel, specifically the 10 plagues, water into blood and hail and locusts and frogs and dead livestock and hail and darkness and death of the firstborn. Those plagues were to get them out of Egypt. He showed Israel His mighty hand to get them out of bondage, to get them out of Egypt, to get them out of Pharaoh's hand. And then He showed His mighty hand. He showed His limitless power as He delivers Israel out of Egypt. And then you get to the wilderness. That's one thing. That's in and of itself, it's a miracle, the miracle power of God, all the plagues that He did to release them out of bondage. But not only did He do that, then you get to the wilderness and the miraculous was present with them everywhere they went. I mean, everywhere they stepped, you could see God's hand on their life. Pillar of fire by day, a pillar of cloud by night. He parted the water and dry land appeared. They drank water from rocks. Psalm said that they had angel food, manna and quail that they ate, more than they could eat. They had sandals that never wore out. The Bible tells us even after all of those great miracles that God had done and all of the things that God had brought them through, that they forgot. Not their children forgot. They forgot. God had a plan so that even the next generation would not forget. And the ones that came through that forgot. They did not tell. They did not sing about it. They did not count as blessings. They did not share the testimony. They did not pass it on to the next generation what God had done for them. And because of their forgetfulness and because of their disobedience, they limited the limitless God. How is the next generation going to know the limitless power of God if they do not hear about it? If we're not talking about it, if we're not singing about it, if we're not praising God for it, how are our kids going to know how awesome and powerful this God is? Can I go ahead and exhort you for just a minute? Tell what God has done for you. Share your testimony. Sing the praises of God, even if it's the same testimony over and over and over and over. Do not forget it and keep sharing it. I've heard some of the same testimonies probably 100 times. It doesn't bother me. I'll pick on our associate pastor. I heard about his this morning. I've heard that I don't know how many times. Thank God. Whether it happened 10 years ago or last year or 50 years ago, keep sharing what God has done in your life. We got to keep proclaiming it and singing about it and praising God for it so the next generation will know and they will not limit the limitless God. You see, when you share it, faith is built. Their faith is built and your faith is built and you make way for the limitless God to work. They didn't give God a chance. That's what it comes down to. They disobeyed and they forsook God. And they forgot about the miracles that God had done. And by doing these things, they limited the limitless God. Ephesians 3:20, one of my very favorite scriptures, says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us." You see, when you ask, he is able to do that, but he is able to do exceeding abundantly above that. That means when the doctor tells my dad and his family that he's never going to eat again and he's probably going to die, my dad began to pray that he would have one last chance to share the gospel with his dad. And when we showed up, there was a miracle that had taken place. Yes, he was eating, and yes, he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and yes, he was baptized in Jesus' name. That was what we asked for. But then revival started breaking out in the McGuire family, and more and more and more people began receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's what we asked for. And then he did exceeding abundantly above all that we had asked for. I have an evangelist friend. He's now a pastor that was in the Dallas airport flying to preach. And there was a girl that was on the phone, and she was weeping and crying. She was a teenager, late teens. And when she got off the phone, he went over to her. He's nosy. He went over to her, and he asked her, he said, "I'm sorry, but I hear that you're crying. I know that there's something going on, and I'm a minister, and I'd like to, what's going on? I'd like to pray for you." She reached back to the back of her hair, and she showed him there were two cancer tumors on the back of her neck. You could see they were protruding through the skin. And he said, "I serve a God that's able to heal you, and I'd like to pray for you. Can I do that?" And she said, "Sure." And he said, "All you have to do is have faith." She looked up at him and she said, "How do I have faith?" He said, "Wow. This is what I want you to do." He said, "If you're comfortable with doing this, I want you to lift your hands and I just want you to say, 'I believe Jesus. I believe Jesus.'" He said, "When you do that, if it's okay, I'm just going to lay my hand on the back of your neck and I'm going to pray in Jesus' name and I believe this cancer is going to leave your body." She said, "Okay." So she lifted up her hands in the middle of the Dallas airport by the gate and she said, "I believe Jesus." She said a little louder the second time, "I believe Jesus." The third time, I believe Jesus. And on that third time, he reached and he prayed for her. And this is a little bit gross, but as he was praying for her, those two tumors fell off in his hand. And he looked down at this miracle that was done, and he looked at her, and she had stammering lips. And he said, I took those things and I put that behind my back. And I said, what you are feeling is the power of the Holy Ghost. And God wants to do something in your life right now. And just a few minutes later, that young girl was speaking in tongues in the middle of the Dallas airport. Oh, I said that God's able to do exceeding abundantly above more than we ask or think. He was praying for healing and the Holy Ghost power fell in that day. I don't know what you've come in here today with. If you're a guest with us, we're so happy you're here. I don't know what things are going on in your life. I don't know what's going on in your family. I don't know all the situations that are going on in your life. But I've come to declare to you today that we serve a limitless God, and there is nothing that's too hard for him. And if you're looking for change in your life, he can bring that change. I'm closing. Mark chapter 6 and verse 1 says, and he went out from thence and came into his own country. Jesus did, and his disciples followed him. Verse 5, and it says, and he could do no mighty work there. Verse 6, and he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. The limitless God showed up. And as he was speaking, they were amazed. Who is this guy? How does he have so much wisdom? Who is this guy? All we see and have heard all of the things that he's done. And then somebody else speaks up over here. Isn't that Mary's son? Isn't that the son of the carpenter? And because they thought they knew who he was, their faith went whoop. Unbelief started creeping in. Because they thought with their logical mind, this man, he can't be doing all these things. He's the son of a carpenter. And because they thought they knew who he was and what he could do. And because of their unbelief, they limited the miraculous power of God that could have moved in that city. You read it in the New Testament. When Jesus would walk through the cities and the towns, the people thronged him. The people came to him. People were being healed all over the place. Devils were being cast out. This lady touched the hem of his garment. The blind were being healed. I mean, miracles happening everywhere. He was turning these cities upside down with his power because he was limitless. Because we are limited. And then Jesus gets to this place where the power of God could have been released. Miracles, signs, and wonders could have been done. And because some limited human beings decided that they knew him better than he knew himself, they began to doubt, and he could not do the miracles that he wanted to do in that place. Would you stand with me? I pray to God that we don't get to the point that we are so familiar with God and with his power that we limit him. Can I just speak transparent? Wednesdays and Sundays, we're here. We're going to be here tomorrow for prayer. This is the norm to us. This is the norm to us. Church is the norm to us. I hope that we don't get so familiar with church and so familiar with prayer that we're doing it out of protocol rather than out of faith. When we bring these needs before the church in the beginning of service, we're not doing this out of protocol. We're not doing that because that's just what's on the agenda and on our schedule. I thank God it's there, and we do. We're doing that because we know that we serve a limitless God and He has all power. That's why we do it. Oh, God. I ask God to convict me. Convict me if I'm just going through protocol. When they read those names off that list, if I'm just saying those names just to say it, or do I really want to touch God and see the miraculous happen? When we pray, do we do it out of protocol, or do we really believe that He's going to do what we've asked for? If we're going to do it just because it's what we're supposed to do, we might as well give up and not ask, because when I have unbelief, I have already limited the limitless God. I've made up in my mind, I'm not going to limit Him. I'm not going to limit Him. Though I can't figure it out and though I can't understand it, He knows the way that I take. He knows what's going on in my life, and He has the power to bring me through. There is no circumstance that you're facing that He does not know about. There is no sickness or disease or pain or infirmity that He cannot heal. Can I get an amen? There is no issue, family issue, that He cannot restore. There is no storm that He cannot speak peace to. There is no chain that He cannot break. There is no problem that He cannot solve. And there is no limit to His power. You see, when we limit God, we bind Him. We tie His hands behind His back. But when we have faith, we loose Him. We free Him. We relinquish our problem and we say, God, I'm letting it go. Let God be God and give God a chance. Would you lift your hands right now in this place? Would you just call out to God? Would you just speak faith to Him right now? God, I know that You are limitless. I know that You have unlimited power. I know, God, that there is nothing that is too hard for You. Oh, now I want to invite everybody that wants to. If you've got something going on in your life, if you've got something going on in your family, if you're walking down a road, you don't know where you're going to go, would you come to the front and would you throw up your hands and say, God, I put it in Your hands. I'm not going to limit You anymore. I'm not going to try to figure it out on my own, but You have all power and You are limitless, and I trust You.